So there was a world champion wrestling match that was happening, sort of like an Olympic wrestling match, but this was a world championship match, and the finalist was a wrestler from the Soviet Union back in those days, and a wrestler from the United States. And the wrestler from the United States was very nervous, as was the United States coach, because the wrestler from the Soviet Union had this one hold. It was the dreaded pretzel move. And if he got anyone in the pretzel, the person would never, ever get free. So the coach said to the wrestler, he said, whatever you do, do not get in the dreaded pretzel move. Do not let him grab you like that. So the wrestling match took place. Everything was going fine until the Russian wrestler, the Soviet Union wrestler, grabbed the American and put him in the dreaded pretzel. And everyone despaired and thought it was all over. But the American wrestler looked out and peeked from his eye and saw a baby toe. And when he saw that baby toe, he creaked his neck as far as he could and he bit that little toe. And then all of a sudden, the wrestler, the Russian wrestler, went flying across the ring, and the American won. So after the match, the American coach said to the American wrestler, so tell me, how did you get out of the dreaded pretzel move? And he said, well, there I was. And I was in the move. I could not breathe. I knew it was over for me. But then I saw this baby toe, and I creaked my neck out, and I bit down hard on that toe. And the coach said, so you bit the Russian's toe? He said, no, I bit my own toe. And it's amazing how much strength you can get when you bite your own toe. It's good to laugh, right? We struggle as people with a lot of things. All of us have struggles in our lives. For confirmation students, right? You just had a good junior shepherd's gathering, and you talked about stress, struggle over your grades, struggle over peers, friends, bullying, all sorts of things. For older adults, we struggle with direction. What are we going to do with our lives, right? I'm looking right at you. People a little bit older, you struggle about your finances, right? How am I going to pay the bills that come in? You struggle about your health. What am I going to do? Struggle about plans for the future. Struggle with relationships which seem broken or twisted and irreconcilable. But the amazing thing about the way that God has designed and made us is that we can struggle, and we love to struggle, and we struggle well. And if we want something, we have the gift of so much determination that we can go for it. I'm thinking about UD and all those triathlons that he did. We can do amazing things. There's two little stories of inspiration which I love. One is from South Korea. There's a woman, I'll probably pronounce her name incorrectly, and you might be able to help me with that. But her name was Cha Sa-soon. She was an older woman, and I believe she was in the town of Sincheon in South Korea, a small mountain town. And she is famous because she wanted to get a driver's license. She wanted to drive a car. And she lived in this small town. She did not get formal education. She took the written test 949 times and failed. 949 times she failed the test. But you know what? She passed the test on the 950th time and was able to take her road test. And then she failed that four times. So on the 955th time, she got her driver's license. And she became somewhat a hero and famous throughout South Korea because of her determination. She wanted something. She went for it and she got it. She was persistent. God has made us in a wonderful way, because we can be persistent and we can be tenacious and we can go for it. There's another story which I like. There's this doctor. His name is Dr. Donald Unger. But way before he was a doctor, he was a young child, and his aunt kept on chastising him for cracking his knuckles. And his aunt said, if you crack your knuckles, you're going to get arthritis. So you know what he did? For the next 50 years, every day, twice a day, he cracked the knuckles on his left hand. 36,500 times he cracked the knuckles on his left hand. 50 years later, he has no arthritis in either hand. And in 2009, he was given the IG Nobel Prize, which is a prize given for strange experiments, for proving this wives' tale wrong. If we want to go for it, if we want to persist, God has designed us in such a way that we can do that and we can struggle. But sometimes we're out of gas, right? Sometimes we just can't go on any further. Sometimes we collapse over the weight of the cares of the day and we just have to sit down. Well, that's what Jacob did today in the first lesson. Jacob was journeying to go see Esau. I think I have to do a little review here of what happened between Jacob and his brother and why Jacob was named Jacob and why he's now named Israel. So stay with me. If you recall, Jacob is the second son of Rachel and Isaac. Jacob was a twin, but his older brother, Esau, was born first. Jacob was born second, and he was born grabbing onto Esau's ankle. The name Jacob means grabber, or means trickster, means someone who is grabbing something that perhaps is not his own. In his birth, it appeared as if he was trying to pull Esau in to be the firstborn, because the firstborn in ancient society had more privilege. Well, that gets played out as Jacob grows. Esau, who is big and burly and a hunter, Jacob, who stays back, is more his mother's boy. One day, Esau comes back from the field and he's famished and exhausted. So Jacob makes him a nice meal and puts it before him and says, if you give me your birthright, that means your share of inheritance, I will give you this food. Now, Esau was young. Esau didn't think of those things. Esau said, fine. And Jacob grabbed the birthright, which meant two-thirds the inheritance, and left only his third for his older brother. The second time the grabber comes into play, Jacob is then coached by his mom to trick his dad. So Isaac is dying, and Isaac is blind because as he was dying, his sight failed him. So do you know what that grabber Jacob did? Jacob went to trick his dad to get a special blessing from the patriarch, Isaac. And in order to do so, he dressed up in furs, just like his brother would. He put his brother's scent on him. His mother made some venison stew. He brought it to his father and tricked him. And he, again, grabbed his brother's blessing. Well, after that, you can imagine, things weren't good between Esau and Jacob. So after they buried their father, when their father died, they didn't talk to each other. They went their separate ways. Jacob raised a pretty good fortune. You heard about the parade that went ahead of him while Jacob stayed in Peniel. Jacob stayed in Peniel because Jacob was going to meet Esau. And you see, all these years, Esau raised a sizable army. He had a bunch of people that were with him. Esau was tough. He scratched out his living by being tenacious and going for it. And Jacob was scared. He had no more tricks up his sleeve. He couldn't grab anything. He was grasping for straws or the air at best. So he pulls over. And there in his dreams, he starts wrestling with God, grabbing onto the only thing that's left. The only thing that we have left when we have nothing to grab either. It's God. And he holds on to God, and God does this amazing thing. God gifts Jacob. God takes away this name and the shame with the name, takes away this title of grabber, of trickster, and gives him a different name and names him Israel. Israel, which means with God you will prevail. With God you will be triumphant. Now, on a first read, you might think that because of the wrestling match that Jacob won. No, Jacob could not beat God in a wrestling match, but God allowed Jacob to be a winner. Because God promised Jacob that no matter where he went, no matter what he did, even as he now had to go and limp to his brother Esau, that he would not be alone and God would be with him. See, God even took the possibility of Jacob running away from him. He had to face his fear, but he was going to face it with God with him, and he would be triumphant. So now, Jacob is Israel and has received this great blessing. And so it is for us, right, brothers and sisters? All of us. When we have nothing else to grab for, we grab for God. And God is most certainly there. But our story is even better than that. Our story includes Jesus. And you see, Jesus does for us what we can't do for ourselves. Because sometimes we forget to pull over and we do not grab for God. Sometimes we continue to use our tricks and we try to find our way through because we're stubborn and we're sinners. So God sent his son Jesus, who, unlike Jacob, who wrestled with God in order to get a blessing for himself, God sends his son Jesus, who gives himself to God completely in order to get a blessing for us. You see, God is not a just judge. If God was a just judge, justice would mean we would get what's coming to us, and that scares us. No, God is a merciful, merciful judge. And in God's mercy, sent his son Jesus Christ to come for us, to love us, to die for us, to give us hope, to give us promise, so that we can be free. And with our freedom, we can struggle and we can wrestle with the world because, brothers and sisters, the world is not fair. The world is filled with injustice. You know that, I know that. And the world needs wrestlers. Like that widow who wrestles with the unjust judge in the parable Jesus talks about. God needs us to wrestle on behalf of those who have no justice. On behalf of the poor. On behalf of the oppressed. On behalf of the prisoner. That is our job. And it is our joy. And we can do that because we no longer have to worry about our future. Because Jesus has secured it through his gift. So as you journey through this day and you remember all of your struggles, all of your strains, all of the difficulties that you have faced and will face, remember you're not alone and God goes with you. And remember, all of your energy and this wonderful way that you have made, you can dedicate that to the care and redemption of all that God has made for Jesus' sake. Amen.